This is Jim Hightower saying, horse feathers. 11 million VWs and Audis were tampered with in the past 6 years. Either these overseers knew what was going on, or they've been derelict in their sworn duty to prevent corporate abuse. Volkswagen has long been known for strict top-down decision-making, with even minor matters requiring the okay of its governing officials. And VW's premeditated systemic betrayal of consumer trust, plus its flagrantly illegal poisoning of our air for 6 years, is hardly a minor matter. No wonder the photogenic blame dodgers look like deer caught in a VW's headlights.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
Temperatures rising, fever is high, can't see no future, can't see no sky, my feet are so heavy.
Say hey, it's Monday, the time is 5:32. You listen to Say Hey right on KZFR. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio program. My name is Jake. Noobs is going to be along shortly. And then we're going to have a special guest to come in and talk some hockey. Because there's plenty to talk about today. We've got playoff baseball. We've got more college football. We've got a hockey preview for the NHL. We'll see if we get to everything in this short half hour, or 28 minutes, I should say. But let's start off and talk baseball, because the playoff scenario has unfolded. It's right in front of us, and it starts tomorrow. Tomorrow we have the wild card play-in game number one. That's going to be in New York City, hosted by the Yankees with the Astros coming in. The Houston Astros manage to get into the postseason despite having a tough September, where that young team, that upstart team, really started to show signs of its inexperience, so to speak. And they didn't crumble. They came close to crumbling. They had the lead for in the division almost the entire season and then just couldn't quite finish it off. But they did manage to eke in past the Angels. The Texas Rangers go on to win the division, which is truly amazing when you consider that the Rangers were a team picked to lose around 100 games, not just by the likes of myself and Noobs, but across the board, not expected to be a contender. They were back 9.5 games in May. And then you don't want to check the standings anyway until June or July. But when you're 10 games out and you're supposed to be bad in May, that's usually how it stays. But the Rangers defy all odds, come on strong, win the division. So we got the first wild card game tomorrow evening. That's going to be Dallas Keuchel facing off against Tanaka out there in New York. And then the second wild card game will be the following night in Pittsburgh. That's the one that I'm really looking forward to. That's going to be Jake Arrieta of the Chicago Cubs facing off against Gerrit Cole of the Pittsburgh Pirates. That is going to be one heck of a ball game. And just as I said, Noobs is in the house.
Talking about ball games?
Talking about ball games.
Nice. Yeah, that's going to be a great pitching matchup.
That's going to be a great pitching matchup. In fact, you just got off the mound yourself. You just threw a 80-pitch bullpen.
That's what it looks like.
You looked good out there, by the way. That knuckle curve's really coming along.
Yeah, that's all I got.
And I was just saying that, yeah, we got the first matchup tomorrow night in New York, Dallas Keuchel versus Tanaka.
A little less sexy,
but Astros making it in, to me, is so much more interesting than the Angels squeaking in. Just new blood.
For sure. I think probably people in TV land probably wanted L.A., New York.
Probably.
You know what I mean? But I think from just the perspective of now, we've got like this year's upstart team.
Yep.
And the Royals are going to be in there.
Yep.
And if they win that game, they'll play the Royals.
Yeah.
So that'll be an interesting storyline.
And one of the interesting factors of the whole season in terms of media coverage. Aside of the Yankees being on ESPN for a game of the week pretty much every single week.
Yeah.
They're really they haven't been that coveted in terms of their national coverage. It's not a Yankees team that is considered particularly thrilling, even though they don't stink. You know, they managed to get into the playoffs. But it's not as if this is the Derek Jeter dynasty Yankees that everybody kind of wants to win, or, oh, I can't wait to see the Yankees in the World Series and make another run. I feel like people, aside from New York, would be just as happy to see the Houston Astros advance if you're a baseball fan.
Well, absolutely. I mean, and I think you just touched on it, that it's the fact that Jeter's gone is a huge thing.
They don't have some figurehead these days.
They don't. I mean, if anything, they have someone that you kind of root against in A-Rod.
Right.
You know, and I think, you know, it's weird that you say that, because I feel like people have always either, like, obviously there's tons of Yankees fans all across the country.
Yeah.
And therefore there's tons of people that hate the Yankees.
Right.
Whereas I don't feel, like you said, the media interest isn't really there as much, regardless of them being on TV, like you said.
They just haven't been able to, like, cattle prod people into, like, you know, swallowing the bait.
Nor do people, I don't feel the same amount of vitriol either.
No. No.
Which is weird.
It's almost as like this Yankees team is just viewed as kind of like, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we don't love them. We don't hate them. They're just some team. But as far as the game goes tomorrow night, it's interesting. Dallas Keuchel is going to be coming back and pitching on 3 days rest, which is the first time he's ever done that.
Mm.
Tanaka, you know, he's not lights out, but he's a solid starter. I think it's a real coin flip. I can't pretend to have a strong prediction as to who's going to win that game.
I don't either. Tanaka does have a pretty good strike to walk ratio. It's about 5-1.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he doesn't throw like Keuchel does. I mean, Keuchel had over 200 strikeouts this year, but Tanaka can get it done. And Houston is one of those teams that swings for the fences a lot.
A lot of strikeouts, a lot of home runs.
And I feel like if they're cold and they're striking out, it's going to be the Yankees' day.
Yeah, and if Keuchel shows any signs of wear on short rest and gets the ball up, even though he's a great ground ball pitcher, if he gets the ball up, that's trouble for him as well.
Totally.
So we'll see. I mean, I guess in a way I'll take the Yankees because they're the home team, and I don't think that the Astros are dominant right now. But then again, the Yankees really backed into this postseason. They did not play well.
No.
It's one game.
Right. And the thing is that they were actually still, this weekend, when they got swept by the Orioles, they were actually still fighting for home field.
Right.
If Houston had managed to beat the Diamondbacks yesterday,
yeah, they would have been knotted up.
Right. And I'm not sure how the tiebreaker would have worked in that.
Yeah.
But I know that they hadn't clinched it until yesterday.
Right.
As far as having that game in, you know, Yankee Stadium.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, you know, Baltimore had nothing to play for and, you know, pretty much crushed them.
Yep.
You know, home run leader for the year, Chris Davis, hit another two yesterday.
Yep.
You know, it's going to be interesting. I feel like the Royals are going to beat whoever wins this game.
I do too.
And,
I think the Royals, provided they play midseason baseball, will steamroll whoever advances to the
right.
next round. I really do.
And you want to talk about a team that hasn't been playing for much lately. I mean, they've been battling the Jays for home field in the American League.
Which they still secured without even playing great down the stretch, because they just didn't have to.
No, they didn't. I mean, they had such a lead over the Twins pretty much for the last 2 months plus.
Right.
Where it was a double-digit lead over everybody in that division. And they kind of just coasted in. Their closer went down with an injury. Wade Davis is going to step up and be the ninth inning guy now. But they, you know, they've got a good clubhouse, and they have a lot of experience from last year.
They've hit for more power and more offense in general this season.
Right.
It's not just a we need to win
get
on
and get over
team.
Exactly.
Yeah, they've got more pop.
We'll see. I mean, we'll see how Cueto does in the playoffs.
Well, and I still pray to the baseball gods, Nooms. I'm doing it right now. Please, baseball gods, give me the Toronto Kansas City ALCS that I yearn for.
That would be phenomenal.
Give it to me.
Well, should we get into that other series then, Texas and Toronto?
I think before we go there, we should touch on the other wild card game.
Oh, absolutely, of course.
That's the Jim Dandy of the two, and that's going to be Arrieta and the Cubs in Pittsburgh facing Gerrit Cole and the Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
What a great matchup of two phenomenal young pitchers. Well, Arrieta's not young, but he's having the greatest year of his career and one of the best second halves of a season in God knows how many years. So he's pitching like, you know, he's lights out.
I think I saw a stat today where he has a 0.75 ERA post All-Star break, which is like the best since like 1900 or something crazy.
It's insane.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say the only reason I don't just pick the Cubs hands down because of his dominance is because they did just face him, the Pirates, a week ago.
Right.
So maybe they take some lessons from that close encounter.
They did get one hit over seven innings.
They did get one hit over seven innings. Gerrit Cole, though, is so nasty, too. Right. He's hiding in the shadows because of how good Arrieta has been of late. But right. Gerrit Cole, when he's on, he's borderline unhittable.
He is. And both those guys have great records this year against those respective teams because I believe Arrieta is 3-1 with a .75 against mm-hmm. the Pirates, and Cole is 2-1 with a 2.13.
Mm-hmm.
And so both of these guys have performed well
right.
against those respective teams. So I think we're in for a low-scoring game. The total is 5.5 at home.
Yeah.
Or for those at home who are interested in that kind of thing. So it should be low. I actually think that we might get a little bit more runs than people expect if we can get to one of those
bullpens
early.
Perhaps, yeah.
And, you know, there's some guys that can really knock the cover off the ball.
There's a bunch of power hitters on both teams. It's just going to be a cool atmosphere. I'd be surprised if it was lopsided in either case.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking like
4-2. I really feel like it's a close game.
Yeah.
And then the winner of that series is a really solid team either way.
For sure.
Both of those teams are better than the Yankees and or the Astros.
Well,
I personally feel they are.
Yeah, I mean, the Cardinals, Pirates, and Cubs finished with the top three records in all of baseball.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those quirks of the wild card system that we're going to have two of the best teams. One of them is going to survive.
Right.
One of them is going to be out after one night, which is kind of a shame. But I don't advocate changing the system.
I'd rather see a three-game series with a 154-game schedule.
Well, thanks for bringing that up, Jake, because I was hoping for an opportunity to be able to talk about that, because this whole idea, people are like, well, we can't have a long wild card because you're going to have these other teams, the division winners, wait too long to play, and they're talking about, you know, baseball is a game of momentum and you want to be playing every day. Well, let's be real. The National League Division Series both are starting on Friday.
Yeah.
Okay, you're telling me that we can't squeeze a three-game series in between Monday and Thursday?
Oh, you certainly could. And I think most teams would actually prefer that. None of those ball clubs trying to rest their bullpens are going to be crying too many tears if they get a couple extra days off.
Absolutely.
You know?
And the wild card teams are going to have to go through at least two of their top tier starters.
But that is a horse of a different color. I want to talk about another series because we could go off on that tangent for the entire show.
True.
I think the most interesting series in the first round in the LDS is Mets-Dodgers because in a way, in a short series of five-gamer, the Dodgers, with that 1-2 punch, it's the best 1-2 punch in baseball, of Greinke and Kershaw and Greinke. In a short series, the Dodgers, I feel like, should be able to win that, but their performance in the postseason has not been stellar at any point in recent history, especially even with the guys that are on the team now. So I'm not ready to say, yeah, the Dodgers are going to win that series. I just think it's going to be really interesting.
I think it's going to be a phenomenal series. I've got a couple different scenarios that I want to throw out to you. One would be if the Dodgers are down 2-1
mm-hmm.
going into game four, do you start Greinke game four on one day short rest so that you can get Kershaw on regular day rest because you play...
As opposed to starting Alex Wood...
Well, yeah, because as it stands right now, you'd have Greinke in game one and game five.
Mm-hmm.
But because you play these five games in 7 days,
mm-hmm.
that means that Kershaw on night two could come back on the seventh day on normal days rest,
right.
normal 5 days rest, right?
Right.
So if Greinke just pitched one of the game four, if necessary, on short rest, then
right.
you could get Kershaw back for that game five. I think they do that if they're down 2-1.
I would say if this series goes five games, Kershaw and Greinke will throw three of those five games.
Well, they're absolutely going to throw three.
I mean,
but I'm saying
you're
four.
Saying four.
I'm saying,
you're saying four of the five.
Yes, you okay. Because you have Greinke pitch 1-4,
right.
And Kershaw pitch 2-5.
2-5.
If they're down 2-1,
gotcha. Yeah. Right.
Now on the flip side, you've got Harvey going in game three for the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Mets can split in Dodger Stadium, right, and
mm-hmm.
get out of there 1-1,
yeah.
then you've got Harvey against probably Brett Anderson
or Alex Wood. One
or
of the
Alex
two.
Wood, right? And
yeah.
then you've got
they don't have a fifth starter, so.
And there's injuries now. You know, Steven Matz has gone down or probably is going to be out for that game. So you got either Cologne, Verrett, or Nice
uh-huh.
going for the Mets. I think Cologne can win game four. That's who I'd start. And then they could actually win it in Citi Field.
Right.
Because you want to avoid going back to L.A. at any cost and facing either Greinke or Kershaw in game five.
It's a great matchup for both. It's a tough matchup on both sides. Both teams are going to have problems. you know, the Dodgers are not world beaters offensively.
They're not.
And the Mets can be really great offensively, but they strike out a lot. That's why they've been no-hit twice this year.
Mm-hmm.
And Greinke and Kershaw are strikeout pitchers. I mean, Kershaw is now the first pitcher since Randy Johnson to have 300 strikeouts in a season.
Right.
I mean, against a team that K's a lot. So it's going to be really interesting. It's my favorite first-round matchup. I think the Blue Jays, you know, I don't want to be presumptuous, but I think I can comfortably put them in the second round of the playoffs.
I think they're going to have their hands full with Texas, to be honest with you.
You think so?
I do.
You think that offense isn't too much for that Texas pitching staff?
Well, I mean, you got Cole Hamels probably will
with
go twice.
Field?
Yeah, they got home field, but to me, I don't know how much that really plays into it. I mean, obviously, it's going to be really raucous mm-hmm. up in Toronto, no doubt. First time they've been in the playoffs since, like, 93,
yeah.
I want to say.
Yeah.
Last time they
since
won
the World Series.
The year before the strike. And so it's going to be phenomenal atmosphere up there. But Texas can hit really well. And I think if they can get a couple good starts out of Lewis, two good ones, you know, out of Cole Hamels,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think Texas is going to be – it's going to be tough. Toronto's lineup is phenomenal. Don't get me wrong.
It's like a 90s steroid era offense.
It really is. It's like video – it's
man.
Video game type stuff.
Yeah.
Home run.
With over 100 RBIs.
It's unheard of.
Yeah.
I
think that Texas, I gave them a credit right before you walked in, being underdogs all year, back 10 games in May when everyone already assumed how bad they were.
Eight games in August.
I mean, real underdogs. So they're probably, they don't mind the role, and they are going to be heavy underdogs. But
they will be.
You're right. They are going to fight. I wouldn't expect Texas to roll over. But I do feel like the Blue Jays will win that series.
Yeah, I think getting Tulowitzki back is going to be good for them. That was kind of scary, that collision in the outfield. I think he broke his shoulder blade or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure exactly which bone it was, but that looked like that was kind of a non-baseball injury. And so, you know, granted, they've got so much power in that lineup. It's not necessarily that they needed Tulo, but I think just more from like a mental standpoint,
right.
It'll be good to have him back. The thing that worries me about the Blue Jays is that, you know, David Price is phenomenal. That rookie Stroman has been great. Estrada has been really good.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, after that, I'm looking at either Dickey or Burley. Both of them, Burley has not pitched well lately.
Right.
You know, and granted, the series probably isn't going to come down to a fourth starter.
Right.
But, you know, I think Texas has enough pop in that lineup where they can kind of go toe-to-toe with them as far as scoring runs. And I think if Hamels just has one of those postseason performances like he had with the Phillies, I think Texas can win that in five.
That'd be something. That'd be a major upset. I don't want it to happen, but I don't dislike the Rangers.
Right.
Yeah. But give me your official LCS matchups for your predictions.
Okay. I think this is kind of going against the grain because Arrieta has been absolutely lights out. But I think somehow, some way, Pittsburgh squeaks one out
mm-hmm.
on Wednesday. I feel like, you know, they're going to kind of exercise the ghosts of Bumgarner from last year
mm-hmm.
and somehow get over that, which would go against Back to the Future 2. And
ugh.
You know I don't want to do that.
Nobody wants to do that. No.
But I think the Pirates get it done, and I think the Pirates beat the Cardinals.
Okay.
St. Louis is a little beat up right now.
All right.
I think they kind of overachieved.
All right.
Granted, it was the toughest division in baseball, so I get
And with all those injuries, too.
My hat's off to them.
Yeah.
But I just feel like Pittsburgh is a rising star, and that Mets-LA thing, honestly, is a toss-up. I think if the Mets escape 1-1, they win.
Mm-hmm.
If they lose the first two, they're done.
Sure.
So off the top of my head, I guess I'd go Dodgers-Pirates.
Dodgers-Pirates, okay. Yeah, I mean, I want to say Dodgers-Pirates just because I'm so used to watching Greinke and Kershaw all year that I feel kind of like, I don't want to say scarred, but it's
you
hard,
can say scarred.
It's hard to see those guys do wrong sometimes when they do so well against the team that you root for.
Right.
Even though I know they're imperfect, as we've seen in recent playoff years.
Totally.
But yeah, I feel like it's going to be the Dodgers and the Cardinals, and I like the thought of Kershaw having to go up against that lineup again that has beaten him 2 years in a row.
Right.
But I would prefer it to be the Pirates and or Cubs and Mets. That's what I would like to see.
Yeah, I'd like to see that too.
Yeah.
And one thing I would say that if the Cubs do win that game mm-hmm. on Wednesday, I think whoever wins that game beats the Cardinals.
Okay. All right. That's a good prediction. And in the AL, I'm sticking to my guns. I feel good about it. Royals, Blue Jays.
Royals, Blue Jays?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the ALCS.
I would say I like the Royals too over either the Yankees or the Astros.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be the Yankees. And I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say the Rangers upset the Blue Jays.
You're going to say the Rangers upset the Blue Jays?
I'm going to say that.
All right.
And it's not just that ticket that I'm holding either.
No, I know. 5% of it is.
Maybe 6%.
Maybe 6. No more than 7. And we got about 10 minutes left, and we'd like to welcome in our guest for the evening, one Landon Moblad. Landon, step up there to mic number 2. You don't need headphones. You're good. Yeah, you're all right. Hello there, young man. How about this one right here, right in front of that chair?
Hello, young man. Thank you for having me.
Yes, indeed. Landon, do you know Noobs, John Newbery?
What's up, Landon? Absolutely. Nice to meet you.
Yes, all right.
Oh, have we? I'm sorry.
Landon is he is my biggest hockey expert of anyone I know. So we're bringing him in to talk Sharks because we like to follow hockey, but we don't know it as well as Landon does. We try not to talk out of our posterior when we don't have to. But, okay, so Landon. The Sharks were familiar with their scenario from last season. They have two key new things this year and a new head coach and a new goalie. Which do you think is going to play a bigger role maybe going forward into the year?
I would have said that the signing of Peter DeBoer as head coach would have been, but what Martin Jones has done in the preseason in terms of looking like the real deal by all accounts, I'm getting pretty excited about what he might bring to the team.
What and how to you is he different other than being younger than what we've seen in previous years?
He is a big goalie. I think he's 6'4", maybe 6'5", and that's kind of the trend in the NHL right now is bigger goalies.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's played 35 games in 2 seasons, so it's not like he has a huge track record in the NHL, but he was stuck behind Jonathan Quick on the Kings, who plays basically every game.
Right.
And when Jones did get in games, he was spectacular. And so they had a logjam at goal.
And he's looked good thus far in the preseason.
And he's looked great in the preseason. He started 4 games and had 2 shutouts, which, okay. I mean, the preseason's the preseason. You can't.
Right.
Just like any sport.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's better to see him do well than not do well. So
what do you think exactly will DeBoer change that McClellan wasn't able to last year for maybe whatever reason?
Well, McClellan really stands by his veterans, and I mean, Marlowe had a terrible season last season, and apparently DeBoer is big on really kind of holding his veterans accountable and demoting them if they're not performing,
mm-hmm.
which is something Thornton and Marlowe have never really had to deal with.
That's true.
And they have a lot of young guns on the bottom six, the bottom two lines, who might be putting some pressure on the top six, so.
Right.
Hopefully, if they're slumping or if they go through dry patches, you know, you might see some of the younger guys get a chance in the top six.
I'd like to ask you a question about Peter DeBoer because I looked at his record today, and his first 3 years with Florida, they had no playoff appearances, and then he took over with the Devils, took them to the Stanley Cup Finals, but then his next 2 years, no playoffs, and I believe he was fired midway through the season last year. And I'm just wondering, like, you know, hockey is one of those things where 53% of the teams make the playoffs, so it's not exactly that hard. What, like, considering his past, what I would maybe call failures, what do you think is going to be different with his stint now with the Sharks?
Well, this is the best team he's had on paper by far.
Better than that Devils team that made the final? Okay.
Yep. Depth-wise. I mean, they had, I think, Kovalchuk and they had Brodeur, but he was getting older by that point. But they didn't have a very deep squad. And those Florida teams, I mean, they were garbage. So it's tough to hold them.
Right, yeah. I mean, the Panthers have been terrible. Real quick, I want to ask you about that roster. I counted to there's 47. Now, granted, it's the preseason. So what do they get that down to, 23, 25 guys?
Yeah, I think it's 25.
Okay,
yeah.
And I noticed they have 16 rookies and 12 guys that have played 1 to 2 years of experience. So like you just touched on with like him going with younger guys, do you feel like this is a youth movement now with the Sharks?
I think it is, and it's been pretty subtle, and I kind of, for as much as I've been kind of back and forth on the job that Doug Wilson has done, he basically said after the in the offseason, after the, you know, when they lost to the Kings, when they lost 4 in a row, when they got bounced by the Kings, that he was going to take a step back and that they were going to retool and focus more on youth, and that it was going to be a two steps back or a one step back, 2 steps forward situation. And as tough as it was to sit through last season, I feel like the team that they have put together for this season is basically making good on that promise. So
what about the role of Burns? He's been jerked around a bit recently.
How do you mean?
I mean, just whether he was going to be used on which, you know, offensively more, defensively more. I mean, have they solidified?
Well, they used him. He was on D all last season.
Uh-huh.
He was forward the season before that. But
yeah.
He put up good numbers, but it wasn't really the best fit. And they need defense. So that's why they moved him back last year. And
he'll stay in that role.
He'll stay at defense.
Okay.
And they picked up veteran Paul Martin from the Penguins, who on paper is like the perfect fit for Burns because he's a bit of a roamer and, you know, he pinches a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And Martin is just a veteran, stay-at-home kind of guy who can cover up for mistakes he might make or
okay.
let him kind of do his thing offensively.
All right.
So that's a pretty exciting pickup too.
So what, if you had to look big picture, got about 4 minutes left here, what would be your prediction for the Sharks by the end of the season?
I mean, there's still a lot of question marks for sure, but I guess I'd say I'm cautiously optimistic about their team this year mm-hmm. after the disaster that was last season.
Getting back to the playoffs, perhaps?
I think they'll make the playoffs. I'm not going to say they'll be a top seed. The West is stacked, but I'd be happy if they made it in at six or something.
Will Torres be a help once he gets back from his 41-game suspension?
He will be a help, and he just kind of adds to the depth that they'll have on the bottom six. But who knows how long he'll actually play before he does something boneheaded or gets hurt again.
Have you seen that, Noobs?
No. Was it a drug suspension?
No. He threw a deliberate shoulder into the head during a preseason game, and the league dropped a 41-game suspension.
41? Wow, that's kind of unheard of for them.
Well, it's his fifth suspension, his second sizable one, and it's like I think that they're setting the tone for the season.
Okay.
With, like, using him as a scapegoat. He's like the perfect guy.
You're trying to give them a reason. Set an example.
Yeah, with how big, you know,
it was dirty
are.
Too. I mean, it was straight up dirty.
Who was that Vancouver Canuck a couple years ago that took a stick and smacked the guy on the side of the head with it? And I think he got less of a suspension. Todd something, do you guys remember this?
The stick in the side of the head.
No, he literally like took his stick and just smacked the guy. Yeah, I mean, so there's, I don't know, the NHL doesn't, they haven't seen like in the past that they're exactly like trying to cut back on violence necessarily. You know what I mean?
It's a little back and forth.
They've been trying to crack down on it the last couple seasons.
Okay.
And I think that Torres is just such a moronic move to give him a reason to use him as that scapegoat and mm-hmm. like to set the example. Or it's just like, it's just so dumb in a meaningless preseason game, no less.
Right. Well, I'd like to see him back in the playoffs. We were talking about getting down to a game.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, I could go to one. Maybe in January. Maybe go to one when Torres gets back.
Did you hear today the assistant commissioner was talking about cocaine use in hockey?
Yeah.
No.
He said that like drugs are cyclical in nature and that cocaine seems to, quote, be in again.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on that? Do you think it's a problem in the NHL?
I wouldn't think it's a problem. I think the guy was even quoted as saying it's like the numbers aren't cause for alarm, but it's just like
it's noticing. It's not like the NBA in the 70s or something like that.
Right.
I think he was just commenting on it, more players testing positive for it than
before. Well, yeah. But that's what brought it up.
He is right about drugs being cyclical.
I mean, no, I don't disagree with that. Yeah, I mean, heroin was huge in the 90s.
There's probably more NHL players using cocaine now than there were 10 years ago, but it's probably like a little,
right.
little small percentage.
But I wonder if that's any different than the rest of the population.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how the drug testing laws work in baseball for just recreational drugs as opposed to football and
right.
yada, yada, yada. We know the NFL won't let you smoke marijuana.
No.
God forbid.
God forbid you smoke a joint.
Jeez. But
hit your wife.
Yeah.
Hit your wife.
Hit your wife, please. But don't smoke weed.
And God forbid.
God forbid you do that. We'll drop that hammer right on your hands. And that's about it. Landon, thanks for stopping by today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm going to let you know that Say Hey is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Chico's newest restaurant, Buffalo Wild Wings. They feature 36 beers on tap, wall-to-wall HD TVs with nonstop sports wings and more at 801 East Avenue. They're open every day, 11 a.m. till midnight. And then we got Friends of the Arts, a state local partner of the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunity through arts and culture by producing community festival and events, including Arttoberfest, Chico Palio, the True North Tour, the Silent Film Festival, the NorCal Jazz Festival, the Salmon Fest, and more. To learn more about Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheartsupstate.org. And I'm going to take you out with a little promo from an upcoming event this weekend that's going to scare me silly, and then we'll have right on the way with more news programming. Stick around. It's KZFR.
It's Saturday, October 10th at the Pageant Theater.
Somewhere between science and superstition, there is another world. The world of darkness. Nobody expected it.
All right, let's see what the...
Nobody believed it. And nothing could stop it.